Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
How are you doing? I'm Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble. Now, we've been doing this project, the Football Ramble, for over 10 years now. And we thought during the summer months, it might be a super idea for you guys to experience, some of you Johnny or Jane come latelys, to experience some bits and bobs, jokes, non-jokes from our previous output, from our early years, if you will. It's basically a chance to hear the genesis of our sort of torrid love-hate relationships with people like the legend that is Mr. Kevin Keegan, the true baddie that is Gigi Becali, Marcus's weirdly pathological obsession with Sven-Göran Eriksson, and stuff like that. So we're going to be going through years upon years upon years of content and distilling it to some of the very best, and let's be quite frank about this, the very worst, and jamming it into your ears. Over the coming few weeks, you're going to be hearing shows from 2009 forward. The sound quality from some of these shows, as you can imagine, is variable. These shows coming at a time where we'd be recording much of our output in my bedroom in Kentish Town, then another bedroom that I rented in Highgate, then Choice FM, where I sort of worked. It's a radio station that doesn't even exist anymore. RIP Choice FM, your number one choice for hip-hop and R&B. I want to give a big thanks to the YouTube guy Linford Grimes for mashing together a lot of this content. We literally couldn't have done it without that person. We literally wouldn't have done it without them. We're going to be kicking things off with this show, 2009 to 2010, the very best and the very worst, and a story kicking us off about Peter Beagrie.
This is one about Peter Beagrie, our much beloved Peter Beagrie.
Stop trying to say Beardsley.
Peter Beardsley.
Nothing to do with Newcastle United.
Peter Beagrie. Okay, Peter Beardsley is perhaps best remembered for his somersaulting goal celebrations and a career that saw him play until he was 40 years old. But often overlooked is the fact that he once rode a motorcycle through a hotel plate glass window.
Oh, this is from the archive, this one.
This has been sat at the bottom of the funny stories list forever. It's been a bit of a quiet week. Yeah. I don't mind letting you through the curtain.
But it is an absolute classic.
Do you know what, right? I didn't know that story. You get that in from me, and I'm so glad that that's come out. That is superb.
After
Keith Moon is celebrating somewhere.
It's like, after a boozy late night out following a game with Real Sociedad on a pre-season tour with Everton, Beagrie persuaded a passing motorcyclist to giving him a lift back to his hotel. On arrival, he decided against waking the night porter and commandeered the Spaniard's bike before riding up the hotel steps and straight through a plate glass window of the building.
That poor Spaniard.
Get this though, it was the wrong hotel. And he required 50 stitches. He thinks he's plumbing, I don't know, Axel Foley. I'm gonna ride upstairs. open the minibar with the wheel.
How the hell would you manage to persuade someone to give them your bike?
Terrible passenger.
Oh, Peter Biggie, watch this.
Sorry, wrong person.
Did he try to do a somersault with it? He thought he was Evil Knievel.
And that's how the celebration started. He's thrown off his bike through a plexiglass window.
Gee, in pre-season as well.
Oh. That's not preparation, is
no.
it?
This is from a young chap called Kevin in Fife. That's in Scotland.
Yeah, I've been there.
I know you have. Dear Ramble, last year my class could not behave, so it meant we never got practical lessons on the Friday. Me and the boys were raging, apart from some of the fatter lads. Our teacher, who is a good guy at times, said if we behaved, we could listen to some football stuff. We never knew what the moron meant. He's a good guy. Yeah. We never knew what the moron meant, so we basically carried on with the nonsense and fun. This is superb. Our teacher put the Ramble on, and there was utter silence. We all loved it. Apart from when you talk about old footballers, that's a bit dull.
Good point, well made.
Yeah.
Note to self.
Education, Kevin. Yeah. Your footballing education. Yeah. We behaved...
Which he's getting at school.
What is wrong with the education in this country?
I don't know, Pete, but it's just gone
we
up...
are, apparently.
It's just gone up a level. I'm not finished. We behaved better and stuff, and we were to get our practical sessions back, but we never wanted them, so we asked if we could get more theory. Thankfully, we did. Towards the end of last season, this is quality. Towards the end of last season, our assistant head, in brackets, wank, came in and was saying, well done and good job. And he noticed the pod on in the background. One of you guys on the show swore, and our teacher got in trouble. We never get the Ramble anymore. I do, because I got a computer. But most people don't have a comp in the house. I reckon some of these animals don't have toilets, but I won't hold it against them. Me and the boys are creating havoc now in PE. We always shout Ramble Fools Ho just randomly in the corridor and even in the classes, and our assistant teacher can just piss off. That's from Kevin in Fife, and he ends by saying, we will not give up your fight.
In my head, that's Kevin from Home Alone. Pete's nearly dying.
That's emotional. Kevin in Fife, you've just made
Kevin.
Pete's week, month, sod it, yeah.
That was brilliant.
Pete, was that you that wrote that?
Well, let's move on to Brazilian striker Wagner Love. Always a good move, I think.
Yeah. He sounds like a rapper.
He does. Yeah. Maybe he's interested.
He'd be more like an R&B singer. Yeah, cheesy.
Interestingly enough, the Palace administrator, if Wagner Love is willing to buy the club, he'll fly to Rio to meet him. However, he might not attend one of the parties that Wagner Love goes to. I'll tell you why. He was filmed entering a party in one of the favelas in Rio de Janeiro, accompanied by armed drug dealers. One of them was wielding a Swedish anti-tank weapon, which was used by the US military in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Why are the Swedes got anti-tank weapons?
And why are there Swedish tanks in Brazil?
Is he getting confused with Wagner,
see what you've done there, Jerry.
He's Apocalypse Now? He's getting a bit carried away with his name.
The case was reported by TV Globo, but Wagner Love was saying that it's quite normal, the presence of gunmen in...
Hang on.
No way.
Not with Swedish anti-tank guns.
Has he got it down his trousers, this anti-tank weapon?
Well,
how's he going to set it off?
Why does he need it?
Surely all weaponry is anti-tank. If you fire it at a tank.
What's he going to shoot? Those streets in the favelas are pretty small.
What was the party like last night? Rubbish. I took an anti-tank weapon. They want a tank in sight. They won't even a tank there. I feel like an idiot now.
This was in late December, but it's only just sort of come out now, all this sort of stuff. Apparently the gun, which is an AT-4, was identified by the operational chief of civil police, Carlos Oliveira, and he said it's defined as anti-tank weapon. It is not anti-personnel weaponry. It is used against vehicle with a range of 300 metres.
That doesn't make it better.
No.
People are still going to get hurt.
It's like you said at the shooter fired indiscriminately at the crowd. I'll tell you what, if you get hit by a bullet, I would take that personally. That's discriminatory. That bullet discriminated against me.
And the way he talks about this anti-tank weapon, it's almost like he's saying, if it's fired at a person, it won't hurt them.
It's not anti-personnel.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You're completely safe.
I've got wheels.
Fire it at me.
The only thing it will blow up is a Swedish tank, I'm telling you.
And what are the chances of that in Rio?
The most ineffectual weapon in Rio. Yeah. It's a Swedish tank. Will it hit a Norwegian tank? No. Bounce right off it.
It's like an Anchorman.
Swiss neutral. No.
In Anchorman, when they have that fight and one of them has got a hand grenade.
Yeah.
It's such an inappropriate weapon for an intimate venue. Why have you chosen that?
Not easy to conceal, pull out.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to set that off and leave alive if you're at a party.
Exactly. And those kind of weapons, they probably don't have safety catches.
No. I mean.
It's a disgrace. Shambolic.
Let's kick anti-Swedish tank weaponry out of football.
Anti-Swedish.
No, it's made in Sweden. It's not anti-Swedish. Sorry. It's probably pro-Swedish, actually.
This email's from Stefan in Iceland. Dear Ramblers, I was recently catching up on a few old shows, and one in particular inspired me to write you this email. The inauguration of Barry Davies to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, to be exact. Here in Iceland, we have been football crazed ever since you lovely Brits sent us a week-old match on a black and white VHS many, many winters ago. Our own Barry Davies, or Bjarni Fell, aka the Red Lion, used to commentate on the first matches, which were, as I said earlier, a week old, thus often proving a superior insight to the game by staff. Is commentating on a line like this. Keep an eye on player number 9 for Liverpool. I've got a sneaky feeling he will do well today. He was watching videos from a week ago. I love it.
Who is this Nostradamus in football?
And the Red Lion was never wrong. Here are some quotes from Icelandic commentators through the years. There is much competition for competition on the side. We will take a short break and return with the second half from beyond. What? He is by far the second leading scorer.
That's a good one, mate.
The match will be televised live on the television. Both teams have now played for 21 minutes.
That's John Motson's goal.
Yeah.
He's got the flip. The card Oliver Kahn was shown in the last match has now been moved to Jens Jeremy's so that Oliver Neuville no longer has one.
What's that?
Different players again. It would probably suit the Germans better to score.
Agreed.
Yeah.
No, if you want to score from that far away, you have to come closer.
is that from a coach?
They are excellent. Stefan, thank you very much for that. Brilliant. He says, take care and thank you for a great show.
Andre Arshavin recently said that Arsenal need more taller players. Hmm. Gentlemen, who is your favourite tall player from the history books?
From the history books?
Yeah.
So I go.
Yeah.
My favourite was actually Yang Cheng Peng. Can I continue, please? It's not a laughing matter.
Oh, I mean, we sort of operate under the precipice, the illusion that Mark has just posed these questions out of his ass
five minutes before we start.
Why have you somehow got this information?
Well, I'm a bit of a part-time supporter of Three Gorges Kang Tian. in the Chinese first division.
He's from China.
Yang Chengpeng plays for Three Gorges Kang Tian. He's 6'9". He's a striker. He's actually the tallest professional footballer in the world. And if I could just bring it back to more familiar shores, he actually went to a 1 month trial with Bolton in 2006.
Is he surprisingly good with his feet?
I'll just sit back and await the points.
Wanker.
I'm surprised Allardyce doesn't sign him.
Yeah. He had a trial with Bolton. Well, Allardyce was probably there, so.
Yeah.
But I haven't researched it, so I don't know if that's okay.
You haven't researched it.
Hi, Pete here again. Just sticking my neb in when it's not really necessary. But I will be popping up every now and again during these shows to either provide a little bit of context to the pieces you're listening to or just say hello, really. So, hello, how you doing? Hope you're enjoying the show. That clip was from the episode Charlize Theron, We Salute You. Luke Moore tried to kind of game the system when it came to the opening question. If you want an update on the player he mentioned, actually, Yang Chang Peng, he's now 30 years young. He's still 6'8.5", a giant, and he's a forward who scored 12 goals in 97 matches. Amiobiesque.
Oh, yes. This is from a young man by the name of Casey Early. Casey Early?
I said yes. Sanity.
Well, I know a Mr. Early who used to be my English teacher. Casey's a fine first name, so yeah.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Casey in the Sunshine Band or whatever they are. Yeah. Cool.
He's a Spurs fan, apparently, but this has no bearing on the story
at all.
That's
the way he likes
it. Keep up the good work, lads. Love listening to the show. My sight at the work, although I get a few looks when I speed past people cackling to myself. Look at me on my
bike!
A couple of my uni mates and I went to see the riveting 2-2 draw between Sweden and Japan in the Umbro Cup at the City Ground Nottingham in 1995. Ooh. After the game, which had none other than Pelé as a spectator, we went round to the players' entrance to see if we could get anyone's autograph or see a famous person. Perhaps unsurprisingly, we didn't have to fight our way to the front, although loopy Swedish keeper Ravelli would have been a cat.
Thomas Ravelli, he was a legend. Yeah.
Well, anyway, he didn't get him. But we waited for a bit, and then out shuffled the twinkly-eyed Bert Millichip clutching what appeared to be a lot of presents. Like he'd found a room where there's loads for orphans and he's stolen them. Yeah. Next up was the sour-faced chief executive himself, Graham Kelly.
Graham Kelly. Please release the balls.
Seizing my chance, I leaned forward with my ticket and asked, autograph, Mr. Kelly? He frowned but obliged, and as he was writing, I thought I'd get the banter going. Looking good on the old FA Cup draw, Mr. Kelly, I said. He just scowled. It gets better every year, came the monotone reply. Yeah. He handed back the ticket and walked on. We looked at the ticket, and to our astonishment, we realised that he had signed a name, crossed out, and then correctly signed his own name. The original name that he wrote was Roy Hodgson.
What? How did you forget who you are? He was in charge of the whole Football Association at one stage. He doesn't even know who he is. Give it to Gascoigne.
Give it to Frank Clark.
Yeah.
To this day, we can only speculate why he did this. Mr. Kelly, if you are listening to the Football Ramble, and I'm pretty sure that he is, personally, please spill the beans.
Yeah.
You please, mental hype.
Really, please
nut.
Do, yeah. How have you got to that position of power? Really. Mind you, hi, Graham Taylor, so... Mm.
Mike Ashley made £1 billion. Nothing makes sense.
Steve McLaren managed England.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Diego Maradona's in charge of Argentina.
We could go on.
We've got a podcast that people actually listen to. Before we want to add to that list.
Booyah.
That's a great email. Cracking.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
You heard me.
Are you going to be starting?
Yeah, of course I am.
Well, how am I going to be on the bench then?
Well, club captain. So
club captain. He washes the shirts.
You'll have a mutiny in your own.
Self-appointed, admittedly. Still club captain.
Oh dear, well let's get move away from people who make ridiculous decisions. Seth Blatter.
Hey!
Every time.
He's on fire. Yeah. Somebody didn't have a drink last night.
Yeah. Sepp has said no to replays.
Okay.
So we're not having them.
Yeah,
all that debate, all that debacle. So France v Ireland, no.
Why does he respond to things like about a month or 6 weeks after they happen? Why
not? I believe it's glacier like speed, James.
Well, he said that we slag him off, right? And this is why, because he says things like this: referees shall remain human. All right.
No robot referees.
No animal bird referees swooping around the fields.
Messing it up, looking for seeds and worms.
And we will not have monitors to stop the game to see if we are right or wrong.
I'm thinking of monitors, the lizards now.
All monitors. No running, Ronaldo.
Blatter said, please don't insist on this theme. All right, that's it. His end. He's gone. I said no.
It's just a series of words.
He said there will be no more discussion between fans, and then no more hope, and then no more life.
It's like he's trying to fit it into 140 characters on Twitter. Yeah. It's like they're just statements.
Yeah. Dear, oh dear.
So what he's saying is that if we bring in replays, then there'll be no more discussions between fans about the big decisions, and then there'll be no more hope for some reason, and then no more life.
When you're the president of FIFA and you actually need someone to sort of translate what you're saying, like, more than once, it's a bit of a communication breakdown in my opinion. What's Jack Warner saying about it? Give me some money.
Jack, do you want to charge us £1 million per word so they didn't ask us into comment?
Seth Blatter says there will be no replays, and Jack Warner probably says there will not be any replays unless you pay me a lot of money. then there'll be replays.
There will be no monitors on my bank account.
Yes. Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
Oh. at a Southend match a few months ago. I was nestled in the west stand enjoying the game when the linesman gave a marginal offside against Lee Barnard. I do that sometimes. This decision seemed to have annoyed a rather large guy two rows behind who stood up and shouted, "What have you done with the real lino fella? Did you put him in a cupboard, steal his kit and flag and then come out and pretend you're him? Go away, you twat." Bit harsh. I take it that's verbatim. At this point, everyone around us just turned to each other and cracked up laughing. So my question is, what is the most ridiculous thing you've heard shouted at a football match? Keep up the good work, Mark Kendrick. Thanks, Mark. Good question.
Ooh. Pete, you go first.
Yeah, pull it. Go on.
Was it something you shouted?
This is going to be amazing, isn't it?
Hartlepool United.
Yep.
People sing Blue Moon quite a lot. Blue Moon, I saw you standing alone. Because they play in blue.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, really, really drunk guy. What did he look to be like? Like a thin Neville Southall. Imagine the big ginger tash, yeah. Slightly balding, big fat face, basically.
Southall wasn't ginger.
And he was behind me. All right. He was behind me on the terracing in the down end. And he was so drunk, he was using the rest of the crowd to sort of balance on. So he was sort of doing a bit of a Superman over everyone. Yeah. Anyway, I'd never heard the start of ba 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 Blue Moon. But so from right in my ears, as loud as you could possibly hear, all I heard was ba 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 ba. And I thought this man had malfunctioned. I thought, oh my, what was he
doing? Under attack.
Doing it. Ba 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 ba. He did way too many bars. There's about 20 bars. They said, "Blow!"
Pete, how many bars should they have?
Well, ba 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 ba. There's a few. There's a few bars.
8 to 10.
But surely in that song, that's another fella singing the ba ba ba. Just start with the Blue Moon. Don't worry about it. Ba 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 ba.
Boys chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Okay. It's email time. James, I believe you've got one for us.
I do, indeed. With recent talk of the lack of inspiration in goal celebrations these days, I have a scenario for you. Ooh. The Ramble Force has been selected to go to South Africa and you score the goal to win the World Cup. How do you celebrate? That's from Kurt Baker.
What, should we go one after another then?
Yeah, go
who's
for
sorry,
it.
Who's that from? Kurt
that is from
sorry,
Kurt Baker.
I'm a big fan of the old, if it was a goal this important.
I knew you were going to say this.
Well, you know what I'm going to say?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Go on, say it.
1982, Italy.
No, I'm not going to do that. No, that's okay. Cliche. That's cliche.
Well, I'd
like to think if it was the Ramble Force I was scoring for, yeah, and it was like to win the World Cup, I think I'd leg it, but I'd do the old, come on, call you all over.
Okay, yeah,
come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
Come on, that one. You know.
Well, what I would do...
it's difficult. It's not really an audio feature, this, is it?
Well, no, what I would do is, I think we talked about it again last week when in the profile... where back in the day when Brazilian players scored, like everyone would gather around them with microphones.
Oh, yeah.
I'd score, I'd get you boys around me, and we'd just do a ramble there and then.
Well, you didn't say, come and meet a goal scorer.
It's probably what I'd do. James, what would you fancy?
Well, if it's the goal to win the World Cup, right, yeah, we're going to assume that it's the last kick of the game. The yeah, whistle goes just as the ball's gone in the net. We've won. What I would do is I'd celebrate wildly. I'd get everyone down. I'd get Sepp Blatter on the just on the pitch. Right, I'd roll around
ground on the floor, right?
So he was him down.
So he was on his back, yeah, and while he was celebrating and lulled into a false sense of security, I would sharpshoot to him.
Why would that? Sepp wouldn't be celebrating your goal.
I'd make him. I'd be so pumped up.
Firstly, you're English. All right.
Logistically, that's a very tough celebration.
Yeah. Secondly, he'd never get down there quick enough. He's a big...
He had attempted with some king prawns and lobster. Hey, what would you do?
You could get Jack Warner down there in a flash.
Yeah. Just bring
wave some
money.
Cash. Yeah.
Hey, what would you do? Down from the stand. I'd probably do a quite a respectful, quiet one. I'd remove a pair of mittens from my shin pads. I'd put them on, run into the dugout, garrot my manager, and then wet myself, and then
that's my area. And that would definitely one to remember.
To win the World Cup.
That's one to remember.
Everyone will be talking about it. Did you see him? He got the mittens out and then he wore the mittens and then he grotted them out with the string from the mittens.
Presumably, you know, these are all going on at the same time. These celebrations.
I might draw a diagram for online.
My one feels a little bit tame, though.
I reckon, Luke, let's be honest, Luke.
Yeah.
You would remove every piece of your clothing.
Yeah, probably would, actually.
I'd just run out the stadium.
I'd do the Antonio Cassano.
Pick up the World Cup and just go.
Yeah. Be running down the street with it.
Yeah. It's not even a cup!
To cash converters.
Woo! I probably would do an Antonio Cassano, take all my clothes off. Eat loads of food.
Oh, that's a cracking email. That.
Argentinian model... Analia Sarkis says she's going to be revealing appalling details of her affair with
Pete Donaldson.
Appalling details.
What a revelation.
AKA Diego Armando Maradona.
El Diego.
In her new book timed for release ahead of the World Cup.
Is that his current? Is that the one that he
his current disgrace?
Is that the one that
burped? No, this is a different one.
No, this is the one where he.
Oh no, it isn't the one he burped. Sorry, that was another one.
Oh right, was it onions and
he's full of
that,
onions.
And that he was pumped as well. he didn't eggy Trump.
Past wind, yes. Yeah. This is Analia says that his body is unpredictable, but our love was real.
What does that mean?
I love the translation.
Like a lava lamp, because our left becomes our right.
Whoever's doing the translations is brilliant.
Yeah. Well, no, the one you're referring to is last year. The model Natalia Rosas Muñiz described her. She cashed in on her affair with Maradona. I can't understand why.
Yeah.
She was posing for a photo shoot with the letter M sprayed on her buttocks in shaving cream. She said that she about the Diego business. She said that he was very nervous, and when he kissed me, he left a taste of onions. So I had to have a soft drink. But then she said, I heard in a loud noise. Something that I thought the chair was creaking, but no, Diego had broken wind.
The chair probably was creaking as well.
Well, yeah. He became yet more nervous.
Similar, don't they, those things?
She said he never begged my pardon, but it didn't matter. He is a romantic and deep thinker. Oh, what a night.
Oh, what a night.
Kiss me.
I think I would be a bit annoyed if my body was described as unpredictable.
Yeah.
You get what it means.
It's same as what he was on the football field. He could go left, he could go right.
Yeah.
The man's had his stomach stapled.
Yeah, This is true.
You know, medically unpredictable.
Yeah.
His stitcher could pop at any moment.
And it might smell of onions.
World Player of the Year.
Unpredictable Diego there. Pete Donaldson with you, back in the Dennis Norden / Terry Wogan / Bob Uecker blooper reel edit suite. And what a lot of fun we're having. I hope you're having a lot of fun too. Didn't we used to laugh a lot back in the day when we still liked each other? We really did go for it some, didn't we? Here's some daft nonsense about desserts.
Peter. I've got an email in my hands. What you gonna do about that?
We're gonna let you read it.
Dan Zell is the name of the man who sent this one in with his computer.
Diesel.
He starts the email with Ramaphosa Ho.
Ho.
Ever occurred to you that that's a type of lower league South American player, like who could crop up a championship manager back in the day? Gramble Force Ho. loving the sporadically ongoing funny things heard at football matches item on the show, thought I'd just offer an absolute peach I heard at Loftus Road a couple of years ago. It was just before Christmas 2008, during a 5:15 kickoff versus top of the table Wolves.
Specific.
Very specific. The extra couple of hours in the pub pre-match could certainly be felt. The West London crowd and their travelling black country counterparts were in full full beery voice. I sit nearest the away end where there's a fair amount of repartee between the home and visiting fans. This game was no different. A group of Super Hoops fans behind me had identified one particularly loud Wolves fan as the focus of all their witticisms. It sometimes happens like that, doesn't it?
They sing one out.
And for the second half, this fan had emerged wearing a Santa hat. This was picked up by the Rangers fans. One of them bellowing over with a typically eloquent Shepherd's Bush diction. Oi, what are you wearing that stupid hat for then? The Wolves fan then shouted back with a typically eloquent Midlands diction, it's baby Jesus' birthday soon, innit?
Oscar Wilde-esque exchange.
The QPR fan then rather lamely retorts, oh yeah, having a nice party are yous, and it all dies down and goes quiet.
that is like two bald men fighting over a cone. Yeah.
Or at least it does for a few seconds. A good six or seven rows away, one particularly belagered gentleman who up until now has had no involvement in the exchange and in fact may well have been fully asleep, suddenly stands bolt upright, thrusts his arms open wide, think Michael Jackson Earth Song, leans his head back, and his voice thick, syrupy with booze and full hearted, proclaims to the skies as loud as he can just once the immortal line, bring out the jelly. What?
That is a great shout.
Actually it was to the tune of Horsfield for England. So
bring out the jelly. Bring out the jelly.
he then immediately
no, he said it once.
He then immediately flops back into his seat after saying it once, and presumably
with a bowl of jelly.
Presumably his erstwhile slumber. Meanwhile, everyone's laughing.
What did he think was happening?
Yeah.
I think he just heard the word party, maybe. So
I can't even meet him halfway here. I don't know what's happening.
I've since seen the bloke a few times at the ground, and I know I'm not the only one keeping my ears peeled for when he decides to grace us with some lyrical profundity once again.
Ice cream for England.
Stop ragging on young Marcus.
Sorry. Yeah.
He was a good player. Not good enough.
No, fair enough.
For some.
I was known as Beardsley in the Hartlepool.
More a physical thing, isn't it?
Because I used to have a Beardsley top. And everyone used to call me Beardsley.
Didn't you used to play with Michael Brown when you were young?
No, I was in a park once and he came over and played football.
Did he break your leg?
No, he was threatened by a man on a bike with a hammer later on. Did I tell you about
that? That's what turned him to the dark side.
Did I tell you about that? It wasn't him, but there was a guy who we sort of, this guy turned up and he looked a bit like Trevor Sinclair. And a man who looks like Trevor Sinclair.
Let's say it was Trevor Sinclair for the benefit of this story.
Well, it was a footballing thing. Like, oh my God, we're playing with. I'm trying.
Was he famous?
I think he was playing for.
He was on loan for
Hartlepool at the time, but he was on the kick round, and this fellow looked like Trevor Sinclair came up, and you know he's Hartlepool. There ain't that many people who look like Trevor Sinclair.
No.
Not on bikes with hammers, anyway. So he was threatening this other guy who we'd pictured as Super Mario because he had a moustache. He was a young lad, but he had a moustache, so we were calling him Super Mario. And this man came with a hammer and stuff, and Michael Brown mediated between the two. Apparently the man with the hammer was annoyed because Super Mario had borrowed some money from a girl, and Michael Brown was going, just leave it, just don't worry about it, we'll sort it out, it's fine. But it all got sorted out in the end, and Trevor Sinclair went off.
Did you play a game or not?
Well, we played a match, yeah.
Did Trevor Sinclair contribute any overhead kicks from outside the area?
Bicycle kicks off of his bike.
Oh yeah, exactly, yeah.
I once
hammered it in.
Good one, James. I was
nail on the head.
Oh yeah. When I was living in Edinburgh, we played. Oh, what is the name of it? It's close. Is it
fighting football?
Yeah, no. It was football, but it was.
FIBA.
I think it was away in Nidri. And if anybody in Edinburgh is listening, they know exactly what I'm talking about there. And one of our players.
Well, like Knockout Wembley or something.
No. Sorry, this is for a proper team. Oh, okay, Nidri's right. A very rough and ready area.
Okay, right.
And one of our players didn't get on well with the locals. And he was a little bit concerned when he turned up for the game thinking that he might get beaten up. And in the changing room, when we were getting changed, I noticed that he'd got a big hammer in his bag. God. And I said, what the hell have you got that for? And he went, protection, my friend.
What, on the pitch? I'm going to put it down his sock.
Shall I do an email?
If you would, please.
Yeah. I'll save it. Yeah. Right, Pete? Yeah? All right, Ramblers.
Ho.
Oh.
Having watched Slumdog Millionaire, don't bin the email just yet, it gets relevant, I learned that Jack Hobbs is the all-time highest run scorer in professional cricket.
Yeah.
The Leicester City centre-back, formerly of Liverpool, is therefore surely the greatest all-rounder of all time. So my question stemming from this is, which current Premiership player would make the best stab at another professional sport? My answer would have to be Christopher Samba as a second-row rugby player. Cheers, lads. Tom Vergese.
But I would go for Wayne Rooney as a rugby player because his sense of positioning is really, really
Wayne
good.
Wayne Rooney's a boxer. His dad was a boxer.
True, actually. A boxer and a rugby player. He's an all-rounder. He can do a couple of
things. I think Carlos Tevez would be good at table tennis.
Yeah. Why?
just a hunch.
Michael Owen could have played snooker and golf professionally, couldn't he?
He's a scratch golfer.
Allegedly, yeah.
Craig Bellamy, golf, the way he's...
Good.
Yeah, I like that.
Excellent. Stephen Carr, Formula One.
Oh. It's so bad it's actually alright.
Thanks. We've entered pun territory.
Like we do every week on this show.
Pun.
We don't do this on the other show.
The floodgates are officially open.
Punts.
Yeah. Oh, why do I do this every week?
El Hadj Juice. Tennis.
That's a beauty.
That's superb.
Oh, great stuff.
How did you...
I got one for ice hockey.
Go on.
Darren Puckerby.
Good. Good.
You having that one, Marcus? I've got another one for basketball. Duncan Ferguson.
Good.
Good one.
Slam Duncan Ferguson. With the Winter Olympics on, Skeletoni Cascarino.
Not bad at all.
We're getting there, aren't we? Just two more. That's all we need. Come on. That's all we need. Two
more.
Two more
for our quota.
All right. Ex West Ham player, Tony Gaelic football.
Tony Gaelic.
Possibly the first time Tony Gaelic has ever been mentioned on the football round. Hopefully the last. Yeah.
Matt Etherington as a professional wrestler.
Matt! That's the best I can do! Beyond the mat, Etherington.
Yeah. I think we'll leave it there.
I think I've got an email, Marcus.
What? Gordon Bennett.
Which may or may not be slightly connected. It's from a young man.
It is, isn't it?
It's from a fellow by the name of Doomy from Birmingham.
Doomy?
Well, D-U-M-I, so...
Right.
Yeah. That'll do.
Doomy.
Yeah.
Ramaphos,
a
bit of E at the end. I was listening to the last few podcasts and heard you guys mention the Ghana supporter who goes to the match with a steaming African pot on his head.
Yes.
I had also noticed the guy and decided to do a spot of investigative journalism and find out more information about him for the readers. Turns out he's a popular figure in Ghana and is their biggest fan. His full name is Samuel Agrey and is popularly known as Abuor. He attends every Ghana match, even friendlies, and is always carrying his pot. He was at the German 2006. He was at the Germany 2006 World Cup, African Cup of Nations 2008 and 2010, and even the Egyptian 2009 World Youth Championships. He was once at the centre of an international row between Ghana and Angola after he was famously assaulted by Angolan stadium security after an Africa Cup of Nations match. The security had accused him of using juju. Witchcraft, and they destroyed his pot.
No.
Can you imagine?
Boom.
Down with Angola.
Ghana made an official complaint to the Confederation of African Football, and the incident was only forgiven after the president of Angola made a personal apology and personally replaced the broken pot.
This is sensational.
I decided to dig deeper into this guy's interesting story. Feel free. Yeah. Feel free to do me from there. And find out how he gets his pot to steam. Now, this is what I want to know.
I think Doomy is him.
Yeah, he's doing his own PR.
Right, and Mr. Pot on his head.
Oh, my God. Turns out it isn't some form of magic trick. He actually burns wood and placards in the pot.
Contravention of FIFA rules.
Which surely rules him out of England 2008, the fated England 2008 because of the smoking ban.
2018.
Yeah, 2018,
sorry.
Yeah. Rules him out going out back in time.
Well, if he's got enough juju, he might be able to do it.
Yeah, true.
This guy had me thinking about how a lot of countries seem to have one standout supporter. They're the South American guy who dresses as a huge bird.
Birdman, Colombian bird. He's up there with the Colombian birdman.
Yeah, there's Manuel, the fat Spanish drummer.
I don't know.
Benitez?
and of course, England have the band. Make an effort, lads.
Yeah.
Carlos Alberto
Valderrama.
Good.
The Valderrama family, a friend of mine said that they're known to some Colombians as the royal family of football in Colombia. Wow. Apparently his dad, who's also called Carlos, but Jericho was his nickname, was a good player back in the 60s. His uncle, Alex Didi Valderrama, was a decent player, and his brothers, Alan and Ronald, were good players.
Alan Valderrama.
Is that serious?
Alan Valderrama, please make news. The Royal Family of Football. The match is a bit rubbish. I've never seen you laugh like that, Luke.
Look at his face.
Yeah. Incidentally, other brother Steve didn't make it.
Oh, God, that's brilliant. Alan Valderrama. Run out of names or something. who's naming him? Neville Neville.
Luke, you've got the last one.
Well, yeah, bear with me, because this is quite a long one, but it is worth it. Ramble Force, ho!
Ho!
I thought I would drop you an email and fill you in on my conundrum. I have faced this conundrum for the past 4 years. When I first joined my current firm, I got talking to the big boss, and turns out he supports Manchester United.
Is this a Nigerian email where we have loads of money in our account?
Just get your card out, yeah? in fact, he has a couple of season tickets at Old Trafford. We talk for a few minutes about football and then go our separate ways. I'm happy, as I think I've made a good impression on my new boss. Over the next few weeks, he sees me around the corridor and starts mentioning the Spurs results to me. I think this is odd, but I always smile and nod politely back. After a few weeks and months of this happening, it dawns on me that he thinks I'm a Spurs fan. This is the point I should have stopped him and set the record straight. I don't know. Why rock the boat? As the season draws to an end, he comes into my office and tells me that he's had tickets for the Manchester United Spurs game at Old Trafford and would like to take me up there with a couple of his other Spurs pals. I should, of course, have stopped him here again, but I had never been to Old Trafford before, so I jumped at the chance. And then he's put, what harm could it do? After first
was that on the company?
Yeah. Well, this is what he says. After first class travel to Manchester, dinner and a night at a nice hotel, and a chance to see my beloved, in quotes, Spurs at Old Trafford, I realise I can never go back. 4 years on, and I've now been to every game at Old Trafford involving Manchester United and Spurs. Included two FA Cup games. A couple of times I've even had to trouble up on my own because my boss couldn't make it. I have had to adopt a Spurs fan persona in my office. I have to be happy when they win, distraught when they lose, and when a new person joins and talks about football, I have to tell them I support Spurs. I even had to go and tag along to a few games at the Lane to not arouse suspicion amongst my colleagues. It's like being trapped in hell. Let the harsh reality of my plight be a lesson to you all. Never lie about who you follow. It'll only cause you problems in the long run. Anyway, I'm off now to have the Spurs badge tattooed on my arm. Never let the mask slip. Keep up the good work with the Ramble Hall. And that's from Kevin Carruthers, who's a Leeds fan.
So, we've had fake Spurs fans, we've had jelly, we've also had a little bit of Peter Beagry as well. We're going to be back very soon for more from the 2010-2011 season, the return of Newcastle to the Premier League after a year in the wilderness and the appearance of one Alan Pardew. Ash in my mouth, people. Ash in my mouth. Bye-bye.
Seeing Luke Moore's penis is not the way I want to start the show.
It's happened now, hasn't it? Well, you should have said then.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.